Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth on the road, but calling in to talk about a number of issues, especially recent reports that household formation among younger individuals is down, marriage rates are down. We're going to explore why that is the case. Scott, good to have you here.
Thanks for having me back, Loman.
What is driving the fact that among younger demographics, we are seeing marriage rates stalling out and we're seeing a lack of new household formation?
Well, I think that there's a lot of factors that play into this. You know, one of them is that there aren't a lot of great jobs out there that are providing men with the ability to lead a household. And so when women look for a partner, somebody to settle down with for the rest of their lives, they're not seeing a whole lot of attractive options. So that is why rates are down. And ultimately, part of why salaries are down for men and women in their 30s is this dominance from wealthier individuals that are nearing retirement age right now. You know, there was a saying from Ronald Reagan that freedom is always one generation away from extinction. And I think that economic freedom right now is on the cusp of being extinct. And we've got this tax and regulatory regime from the radical left that continues to crush household formation and job creation, whether it's on the regulatory side or the tax side. We still have marriage penalties all throughout the federal code. Those are things that I think we can address with smarter policies and really embracing what the family unit is, the traditional family unit of a man and woman having children and being a part of society and being self-sufficient contributors into our economy.
If we look at the overall economy here, Scott, gross domestic product, or GDP, is one of the key measures of how well the economy is doing. We had some numbers come out this past week. Didn't quite live up to expectations, did they?
Not quite. We're at about 1.6% right now, which is far behind inflation, which is 3.5%. So the Federal Reserve at, I think, next week's meeting is going to probably take more of like a hawkish approach here. I would expect that these economic numbers don't provide a whole lot of certainty or excitement for those that are trying to get ahead. And a lot of this is borne by the inflationary woes with our energy policies. Right now, gasoline is still soaring. I think everybody's seen the price at the pump increase by 30 to 40 cents over the last 3 weeks. Those are real indicators, I think, of the health of the economy. And if you take out federal spending with GDP, because federal spending is one of the big components when you make that calculation, the health of the private sector economy is very, very weak. And the Biden administration wants to try to manipulate data and say, well, here's what's happening in this area, or here's what's happening here. But the bottom line is that we have basically a crony capitalist system that is pushing us towards socialism, quite honestly, because the Democrats want to tax the wealth, they want to redistribute, and they do that through federal spending, not through actual wage growth, not through the macroeconomic effects that lead to a healthy economy, especially one that we experienced in about 2019 prior to COVID. We need people that are willing to be entrepreneurs and new job creators all throughout America, and I'm talking about from California to New York to rural America, people that are willing to take those innovations that they've been dreaming up and get away from the $60,000 a year job behind a computer, but actually start a new business in their basement or start a new business in their garage. But these kinds of jobs just aren't being produced right now. Instead, people are heavily dependent upon the federal government with government contracts and Small Business Administration loans. And I think that that is leading to a situation here where we're going to be stuck in the 1.6 to 1.4 levels of GDP growth. And we're going to be stuck with higher inflation that really does not seem to be tamed at all. We're certainly not at the 9.1% that we were at just under 2 years ago, but it's still way, way above the target inflation benchmark of 2% that the Federal Reserve sets out. And when you think about the level of growth in the economy, when you are growing, you're creating more taxpayers, you're creating more revenue the old-fashioned way. not through higher tax rates, but through additional growth in revenues. Instead, this week, we've seen Joe Biden really take a hammer to the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, those 2017 Trump tax cuts, saying that he wants to allow all of them to expire, which would ultimately result in the largest tax increase in our nation's history.
How hard is it, Scott, to, we talked about household formation, but in terms of an entrepreneur trying to expand or even more difficult, start a business, when you look at the uncertainty that you have here with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, you look at all the federal regulations and state regulations, is all this really putting a damper on the entrepreneurial spirit, particularly of young Americans?
I think it is, and there's a few solutions that we could make. When I think about tax policy in particular, right, one big thing from the Trump tax cuts was that we allowed for full expensing of all capital expenditures. And that's really a big sugar rush into entrepreneurs and job creators that are looking to grow or invest in a new business. When you think about the idea of being able to write off all of your expenses related to structures or equipment or land, that's a big, big thing that helps a lot of people that are looking to grow. And if people have access to capital, I think that there's certainly a risk in today's economy, but the reward could be high for those that are able to capitalize on really the lack of investment generally across America.
And when it comes to inflation, you did reference the fact that we're down from the 7 or 8 point inflation rate. But even though inflation is down, what about the cumulative impact of inflation over the last 4 years? Isn't all that still baked into the economy and still costing the average taxpayer money?
Absolutely, because wages haven't kept up. And just since Joe Biden became president, we're at 19.4% cumulatively from inflation. And that's over 60 days of the year that's really just gone through this, what I call a bad magic trick of evaporating and, you know, diminishing returns on our buying power. And I think, again, a lot of this is born through our energy policies. When you think about all those semi-trucks that are out there, the cost of diesel, transporting various commodities all over the world and all over the United States is leading to global inflation, but it's being felt particularly hard by Americans, because we are a very high consumption economy. We consume more here than any other country in the entire world. And generally, that's because America has been very prosperous and wealthy. We've got a high standard of living, which are all incredibly good things, right? We want that to continue. But I'm concerned about how big government is growing, how much federal spending we're throwing on top of everything, just throwing it at as a solution to the problem, when in fact we need to find pro-growth reforms that act a private sector economy that can sustain itself.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, tell us a little bit about the club. Also, where can we find you on the web?
First of all, the website is clubforgrowth.org. Everybody can sign up and become a member for free. The Club for Growth is the premier free market economic conservative organization in America. You can also check out which candidates Club for Growth PAC is supporting all throughout America in these big races headed into 2024.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Always good to have you with us, Scott. Thank you.
You're welcome.